third sign the Yeshayas is Vehibi me Achaz ben Yosef ben Uzia mel Yehuda. Now we're in Achaz's time. Achaz, if we remember correctly, was the evil person who was the father of Chizkiah, who you couldn't have thought of a worse, you know, of a worse guy, what this guy did. King of Yehuda, Ol Ritzin Melech Aram. At that time, Ritzin, the king of Aram, who Pekach ben Ramalyo Melech Yisrael, as well as Pekach ben Ramalyahu, the king of Yisrael, Nabal came up Yerushalayim Lamochama, the king of Yerushalayim, to wage war alayhem, but they weren't able to wage that war. In other words, even though Achaz was such an evil person, nonetheless, they could not win the war. But Yugal Beis David Lamor was told over to Beis David saying, Nocho Aram el Ephraim, Aram came down to Ephraim, but Yerul Lavavo, right, his heart trembled, Lavavamo kinoa asiyam yibnei ruach, they trembled like a forest, like they were trembling and scared that this was happening. They didn't know what was happening. They didn't realize that they were going to get out of this war, that Pekach ben Ramalyo and the king of Aram wasn't going to take them over. They thought that they were dead. That's honestly what they thought. The people of the time, Achaz, they all thought that they were completely dead. Here's what happened. The Achaz, one of the first things he did when he became king was he closed down the doors of every Beis Medrash and every Beis Knesset, whatever they had. They didn't have real Bate Medrash or shoals, right? Because that didn't start until Amshe Knesset Gedolah later on. But whatever they had, where they had study halls or whatever it was, he closed them all down and told them to lock the doors of the Beis Medrash so that no one could go in except for the Kohanim. The Kohanim have to do the Ravoda? The Kohanim will do the Ravoda. But they're not going to do anything else. The king of Aram, Ritzin, yeah, sounds good. For Jewish king. Only this one. Ritzin waged war against them, took many captives, and grabbed them all away. Pekach also fought against Achaz, took many captives, and brought them back. Now, Aram and Pekach were coming together, and he had no idea what to do whatsoever, because he had no Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim weren't on his side. He was not privy to Nevuah. The only Navi over there was going to be Yeshaya, and nothing good was going to mention over here. Okay, we're also going to say over here that Achaz, it's going to be, they came up against the king of Israel. We're going to see that he's going to be unnamed from now. But Yomer, Yomer Shamu Yeshaya, say to Achaz, go now to greet Achaz, not even known as being the king of Yehuda at the time. Atu Shar Yashuv Benecha, and your son, Shar Yashuv, together. Akteta Al Zabrecha, to the edge of the aqueduct. Al Yonel, Mesil Ste Koves, to the path that leads over to the washing field. Now, the idea was like this. Achaz decided that he was going to shut off the water, similar to what his son Chizkiyahu did when Sennacherib came up against him. He shut off the water supply so that the people that were going to siege Yerushalayim, right, would not have any water and they wouldn't be able to have an easy time when they were sieging the city. That's what they wanted to do right over there. The Navi immediately went to him and said, don't do it. Don't shut up the water. Go back to the city and you'll be fine. Nothing's going to happen. He hinted that all the survivors are going to return. Everybody that was by Pekach and everybody that was by Aram right now, they're all going to come back. Everything's going to be completely fine. As this happened, Achaz was so embarrassed that he took the washing basin, meaning the thing that was right there by the pool that was right there, and he put it over his head. He was so embarrassed to see Yeshaya, he didn't want Yeshaya to see his face. That's what he did right at that moment. But Amartei Lo, this is what you should say to him. He's Shomer V'Hashkeis. Be careful, be calm. Don't be afraid and don't let your heart be discouraged. From these two firebrand stubs, from the anger of Ritzin and Aram and the son of Ramayahu. None of them are kings. None of them are chashuv enough to be able to go up against you. None of them are going to fight you, and they are not going to take over your kingdom. So you don't have anything to worry about. Yan, because all these people, Aram, Ephraim, and Pekach, they all are thinking bad things about you. Now let's go up against Yehuda. We'll cut her down, chop her up, bring her to us, and we'll make our own king inside there, Ben Tobal. We'll put that person in charge. We do not know who Ben Tobal was, right? But he's a person that they wanted to put in charge. Will never happen, will not be. Kirosh on Damascus. The head of Aram is Damascus. Rosh Damascus was Sin. The head of Damascus was Sin. In 65 more years, Ephraim will cease to be a nation. It could be that Aram has their own people, but Ephraim will cease to be a people in 65 years. What was going to happen 65 years from then?
Oh, the exile.
The exile, Sennacherib. Sennacherib was going to get out, destroy all of Shevet Ephraim and everything around there from being around. And that's what everything's going to be. Rosh Ephraim Shomron. The head of Ephraim is the Shomron, Rosh Shomron Ben Revayo. Em lo samidu ki lo se'amedu. If you don't believe, it's because you're not faithful. Now, you should know the 65 years is a little bit strange because it wasn't 65 years from then. It was 18 years from then. Pekach Ben Revayo was the last king of Israel. So it wasn't 65 years from that moment. It couldn't have been. But apparently, it really began from Amos's original foretelling of the Golos of Bnei Yisrael, which was 47 years earlier.
69.
Yeah, he said, I already said that they would have exile 65 years from then, which is now 18 years from now. And that's what he was saying. Yeah. You have 18 more years where Pekah ben Reuel is going to become the king. He will no longer become king after that. Hashem spoke to Ahaz again, saying, but this is later. This is not right then. This is later on. Ask for a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Ask it from the depths or ask it from the heights. In other words, you want a sign? You want a sign that this is going to come true? That you're going to be okay and everything's going to be fine? Ask for whatever you want. Ask it from the Shemayim. Ask it from the sea. I can do whatever you want. Ask me for anything. What's anything you want. By the way, as a side note, then it says, as a famous paper, Ha'amek She'ela She'ala. Okay? So if you really want to pronounce it correctly, it's Ha'amek She'ala. Everybody calls it Amek She'ela or something like that. But it's Ha'amek She'ala. That's how you pronounce it correctly. So now you know how to pronounce it correctly. Anyway.
Would you ever call it that?
What? No, I would never. I would call Amek She'ela because we're yeshivish. Now, Yomer Achaz Lo'eshal, it's like Rabibi Barabaye. Everybody calls it Rabibi Barabaye. His real name is B-Boy. But if you say the word B-Boy in the yeshiva, you'll be laughed out of yeshiva. You better not say it. Now, Yomer Achaz Lo'eshal V'lo'en Asas Hashem. Listen to this Sitkis over here. I'm not going to ask for a sign. I'm not going to test the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You know what Pshat is? He was saying, I don't want to test God because I don't believe in him. I can only believe in the idols. I feel it's a waste of time to hear from God, but I'm not even going to ask for the sign. That's a good Achaz was. Yomer Shimon based of it. So Yeshai said to him, listen to me, house of David. Is it enough that you burden people? They're also burdening HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean, burdening HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You're not showing your belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, has to destroy you? Is it not enough that you're showing your evil in front of all the eyes of the people, that you're doing this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well? You know what? So God's going to give you an oath instead. And here is the famous line, guys. The famous line. Behold, the maiden will become pregnant. Violetta's vein. She will give birth to a child. The Karas Shmo, Emmanuel. And his name will be Emmanuel. Right? Emmanuel. Right? That was going to be his name. This is the famous line. The Alma is mistranslated as the virgin. The virgin will give birth, will become pregnant and give birth. Right? That's that. Yeshua. That's the Christian. Well, this is where they got it from.
I don't know what famous line you're talking about.
Oh, no. Us Jews, we believe that.
I don't believe in that stuff, so it doesn't register with me.
But it's crazy. But this is it. The whole point is, it's not an Alma. This was a young pre-adolescent girl. That's what it means. It's going to be a girl who shouldn't yet look pregnant. She shouldn't be pregnant because she's very, very young. This young girl was Yeshaya's wife. That was going to be Yeshaya's wife. She is going to be giving birth, even though she shouldn't at her age. There's no way that can happen. She's going to give birth to a child. She's going to have a prophecy that she's going to name the kid Emmanuel. What are you going to say?
Judas David says it's Ahaz's wife.
Really?
Wait, but why Emmanuel?
Oh, very good. Yes,
how does that fit the whole?
God is with us. You don't have to worry about anything. God is going to be with us.
Oh, that's an actual. I thought that was some Yiddish name.
No, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
Yeah. Anything that sounds
good. It changes everything if it's Ahaz's wife.
Yeah, because this is even better. Ahaz isn't going to name the kid. It's she who's going to get up and say the kid's name should be Emmanuel. The sign to Ahaz. Yeah.
Exactly. Because it wouldn't. It's not a sign if it's one of Yeshua.
No, it wouldn't be anything else.
Yeah, exactly. His wife had a baby. Congratulations.
It's. Then he's like, see, I named him Emmanuel. No, but the whole point is the sign would be that it was a young pre adolescent girl. A girl who should not have given birth gave birth. But that's the point. The point is that it was a very, very young girl who shouldn't have had that. Okay. He is going to eat butter and honey by his mind. Mos barah b'chol batov. By the time that he knows the difference between good and bad. Okay? Ki b'tarim yedah nar mos barah. Before the child should know the difference between good and bad. Well, b'chol batov, to choose good. The land will be abandoned by the two kings of whom you dread. In other words, you're going to see that this kid is going to be born. This kid is going to grow a little bit before he turns 2 years old. By that time, both these kings will be gone from your land. So here's the sign. The sign is a girl is going to give birth. Either it's my wife or your wife. Okay? When that kid gets older, then you're going to see both those kings are going to be gone, and that's that. Okay? What happens? Ashur attacks. Now here's the pshat. Achaz hired the Assyrians to fight against Aram. So therefore, Achaz, when he saw the sign, right, and it all came true, Yishai said, see, it happened. Achaz came along and said, what do you mean? I hired him. That's the only reason why it happened. It's not God. It's me. So Yishai said, but Hashem caused the Assyrians to beat Aram. So Achaz said, no, that was lucky. That happened to be, and that's that. Unbelievable, right? Pekah was murdered when the Assyrians came into town, right? And that ended up happening. So it's unbelievable. Achaz did not even trust God's assurance even when he saw that the sign was coming into being. Nonetheless, he took things into his own hands, and that's the problem. Because he had hired Ashur to go fight against Aram and Pekah, and then going against Hashem's word, who said, just be calm and don't worry about anything. Therefore, Ashur is going to fight against you. And that's what's going to happen, that a short fought against him. Yavi Hashem alecha v'al amcha v'avi sabicha yom nesho v'bol v'yom sor v'mal yudas melech ashor. God will bring upon you, on your people, and upon the house of your father times unprecedented. Unprecedented. Things that you've never seen before. From the day that Ephraim separated from Judah, he's going to bring the king of Assyria. You think it's just a joke. But because you're going to hire him, you're going to hire this guy, that guy's going to come up against you, and he's going to try to destroy you. Plus, you're going to cause a brand new thing over here. V'hayu v'yomahu on that day, right? On that day, this referring to what's going to be when Sennacherib comes against Klal Yisrael. Now we're going into the actual war of Sennacherib. So we already went to, now we had Achaz and Aram and Pekah, I should say. Pekah ben Ralal Yahu. Now we're going to have Ashur, right, versus Achaz. On that day, Yisrael Kashem Lazbuv Hashem B'Ktei Yorei Mitzrayim. God will whistle to the flies that are at the edge of the rivers of Mitzrayim. The Lord Hashem Eretz Ashur and the bees that are in the land of Assyria. That means the Egyptians and the Assyrians. Uvo v'nochu kulam enachle abatos. They're going to swarm in the wadis. We already talked before that a wadi is an area where there's no water anymore. It's like a riverbank where there's nothing else there. But if he gets flame and in the cracks of the rocks, clefts of the rocks, the whole not suits it, and all of the thorny areas of the whole not lolan, and all of the thistles, all of those areas right over there. By Yomu Yigalach Hashem, Bisara Haskira, Be'evri Nar, Be'melech Ashur. On that day, God is going to shave the head and the hair of the legs on the other side of the river, the king of Assyria. So Rosh Bisara Raglarian Gavis Zalkin Tisbeh. He's going to take off the head, he's going to take off the hair of the legs, he's going to take off the beard, and he's going to get rid of everything. Now what that means is literally he's going to take off the army generals, the soldiers, he's going to take off even the people, and that's going to mean the king of Assyria will be destroyed. And that was the plague that killed the king of Assyria. So on that day, every man will take from the king of the kingdom of Assyria, they'll take an eagle bucker and two things of sheep. Because of all the abundance of milk, they'll eat tons of butter. They'll eat the butter, they'll eat the honey, all those who are left in the midst of the land. You get the oast now? Before the kid recognizes and he's able to eat butter and milk, right? That's the idea. Then in the end, everything will be okay. All the places where there will be thousands of grapevines worth of thousands of silver dollars, people won't care. They're going to turn those into thorns and thistles. Why is it going to be thorns and thistles? Because the people will be sitting and learning all day long by the times of Chizkiah, and they're not going to care whatsoever. When Sennacherib is gone, they'll have enough money, and they don't care about anything else. They're going to sit there and learn all day long. They're going to, in order to get through the area, you're going to need arrows and a bow. Because the whole land is going to be totally destroyed, and in order to protect them from the beasts that are out there, if you're not in the Beis Medrash, you could be hurt by those beasts. That's what's going to be in the times of Chizkiah. Syria, but all the hills, they will be hoed. There's not going to be any thorns and thistles there. That's where they're going to send out the oxen, they're going to send out the sheep. In other words, even the hills, which are not so fertile, that's the areas where the people will be like, okay, we can get those. They're going to produce far more than their normal capacity. Everything they'll need will come just from the hills. They won't even need the regular gardens. That's what it's going to be like for them. So in other words, it sounds like it's a bad thing, thorns and thistles everywhere, but what it means is it's going to be wild lands, but even those wild lands are going to give you way more than enough food than you're ever going to need. And you'll be perfectly fine, and that's what's going to happen. And in times of Chizkiyahu, when Sennacherib goes and everybody starts learning Torah and everything's going to be okay. As a side note, there is an unbelievable Gemara dimensions in Chelek regarding this Pasuk in Pasuk Chaf, that Kabiyachol, if the Pasuk didn't say it, you wouldn't believe it. What happened was the following. After Sennacherib lost the war, and all of his whole army was destroyed and everybody was all gone, Sennacherib survived with two of his sons, along with Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan. Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan went their own way, they went to Babel. And they took over Babel, and they were the warriors who ended up taking over all of Babel. Sennacherib went back to Assyria. As he was going there, the Gemara says just unbelievable stories, not mentioned by the Amoraim, but it's just from knowing it, right? So it says the following. He was walking home, and a guy came up to him, an old man came up to him. And this, says the Gemara, was a Kaddish Baruch Hu. A Kaddish Baruch Hu came up to him and said, what are you going to tell the kings of all the other places where, you know, they sent you their sons to fight in your battles, and they're all dead now? What are you going to tell those kings? They're going to be so angry at you that you killed their sons. So Sennacherib says, you're right. What should I do? He said, you should hide. He said, well, how can I hide? He said, well, you're going to have to, what's it called? You're going to have to cut off your hair and cut off your beard. Change your appearance. Make yourself look different. When you change your appearance, nobody will recognize you. He said, okay, fine, where can I find the scissors? He said, go into the other area and you can check it out over there. Goes into another area where there's a bunch of malachim that are doing all this work. And they tell him, do some work with us, and then you can go get the scissors. So he did some work with them, whatever they're doing, grinding meat, wheat, or whatever it was, and then he goes and he takes the scissors and brings it back. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu cuts off the hair and burns the beard. Right? After he burns the beard, everything was all done, then a Kaddish Baruch Hu set him free, and that's when he bowed down at his Avodah Zarah thing and saying that I was going to kill, you know, I'll kill my sons or whatever it is, and they both got up and they killed Sennacherib, and that's what happened. An unbelievable Gemara. Now, if you don't say that there's Kabbalistic stories in Gemara, that is one of them. But it says, if the Pasuk didn't say it, I wouldn't be able to say it. And that's Pasuk Chaf. That there was a razor, that there was, they shaved his hair, they, whatever it is. Unbelievable Gemara. I don't understand the Gemara yet. What? The 11th Parak of Sanhedrin. Right? This specifically, I think, is around Sadi Dalet or Sadi Hay, somewhere around there. Parakas, guys, let's start Parakas. By Yomar Hashem Eli. So Hashem said to me, this is referring to Yeshai, Kachal Gilayan Gadol. I want you to take a large scroll, Ksobla Becheret Enosh. I want you to write on it in human inscription, Lamar Shalol Chosh Buzz. I want you to write about the imminent plunder and the impending ransack of what's going to be over here. Now, the question is, when this is going to be? Is this referring to the ransackings of Aram and the Shomron when they came and they took all those people out of you know, the times of Ahaz? Or is this referring to, by what's it called, the Ashur, right, when Ashur came along and tried to take over all of those areas? Which one is it going to happen? Is it in the days of Ahaz or in the days of Chizkiyah? Okay, but either way, it's going to be a large scroll because it was a large-scale, far-reaching effect. That something was going to happen. So to speak, this is what would happen. When he wrote it down, it was going to happen. That's what it was going to be. And Yeshai was told, as soon as you write this down, this is what's going to happen. Okay? So, in other words, you're going to write it, and there's going to be plunder for all of Klal Yisrael, so to speak, to publicize it, that people know about it. But Edom Edom, then I'm going to have two Edom Nebon and two truthful witnesses. As Uriah Kohen, and Zechariahu ben Yeverchiyahu. I'm going to have Uriah Kohen and Zechariah. Does anybody remember this? From the end of Makos?
Yeah, they were...
With Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva came to the Makom HaMikdash
and said,
right, and he saw the fox coming out, and then he heard the Romans, and he said, yeah, that's the one that's out there, right? So he said, I never knew. You'll get there soon, don't worry, you're so close.
You know how long Yevamos is?
Yeah, Yevamos.
I gotta survive that first.
You'll be okay.
And I've heard the most on, like, scenes on Makom.
Of course, 23 blocks, people had 24 blocks, technically. Right, you're sitting there. Either way, this is a very, very different thing. thing. Uriah and Zechariah lived in two totally different generations. Uriah lived in the end of the first base of Mikdash, and that's what he prophesied about. Zechariah said that the second base of Mikdash was going to be rebuilt, right? That they were going to rebuild the second base of Mikdash. They lived in totally different times, and they were talking about two totally different things. So Rabbi Akiva said the famous line, until I saw the fox coming out of the base of Mikdash, I didn't believe Uriah's Nebuah would come true. Now that I see that Uriah's Nebuah came true, now I know that Zechariah's Nebuah is going to come true. There's going to be a rebuilding of the third base of Mikdash. That's what he understood. He said, I know that that's what's going to happen over there. That's the idea behind it. So he wanted Yeshaya to leave room. He wanted Yeshaya to write the beginning of what was going to happen, the ransacking of Yehuda, and then Uriah and Zechariah would finish off the scroll by writing their Nebuahs on top of it as well. But Ekrav El Anavia, so I went to the prophetess. The prophetess was referring to his wife. His wife had prophecy in naming her child Emmanuel. But Tarvat Elabane, she became pregnant, right? And she gave birth to a child. But Yamar Hashem Eli, and Hashem said to me, Kroshmo Maher Shalal Choshbaz. She called him Emmanuel. He called him Maher Shalal Choshbaz. I don't know if that name, you know, went through school. What do we call it? Maher? Quickly, I don't know, whatever it is. But literally, it's going to be imminent plunder, impending ransack. Which is not always the best name. Before the child can call out my father and mother, then the spoils of Shomron will be brought before the king of Assyria. Because again, he promised that before the child grows old, that Aram and Pekah were both going to be destroyed, and Ashur was going to destroy them both. That's what's going to be. Before he could call it out loud, that was going to be, even before the baby could speak. Hashem spoke to me again saying, Yanki Ma'asa Amazeh. You want to know why this is happening? Because his people despise this man Shiloah. The waters of the Shiloah, Ha'okam Ma'at, that goes slowly. Mesos is Ritzin Uven Ramal Yahu. They prefer Ritzin and Ramal Yahu. They don't want the Davidic rulers who ruled with humility, who ruled slowly in the ways that they should. Right? Rather, they wanted their own. They wanted power. They wanted something like Pekach and what they were doing over there. So Bilachin, Hinashem Malalim is man Norat Sumim Varab. You want strong waters? I'll bring you strong waters. I'm going to bring the strongest waters I can find. The king of Assyria, he's going to come and he's going to be a tidal wave to destroy all you. It's Malach Hashem, it's Kol Kvodo, Malach Afikav, it's going to go upon all of your banks, Malach Kol Kvodo, on all of your areas. Right? That's what's going to be over here. The Kolaf Yehuda Shat Vavar, it will pass through Yehuda. In other words, the river is not going to take out Yehuda. It's going to go through Yehuda, Shat Vavar at Savor. It's going to go all the way up to the neck, meaning reaching all the way up to the Yerushalayim. Assyria is going to come into Yerushalayim and take over up until there. Then the tips of its wings will be as broad as your land. That's what you should know, Emmanuel. That the land is also to be known as Emmanuel, not only the child, but it's going to go all the way up to Yerushalayim. The nations have gathered, but they're all going to be destroyed. They're going to listen. Anybody who comes from afar, he's Azu Vachotu. I want you to gird your loins, right, and be destroyed. He's Azu. He's so be Vachotuatsuutsu. That's a crazy word. Vachotuutsu, and you'll be destroyed. Eighth of itsu four dabu dabu leyakun kimanuel. Right, make plans, but they're not going to work. You can say words, but it's not going to be because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be with us. And the many nations that try to fight against Klal Yisrael, it will never happen at the end of the day until Hashem is ready for it. What's up, Dave?
It's Sanhedrin, Sadehe, and Sadehdal, and Sadehe. It's Tolazar is bringing it everywhere around
there. Yeah, that makes sense, because everything around here that deals with this is the stories of Chizkiyo. What's it called? What happens with Sanhedrin? Kikorama Hashem Eli, the Cheskas Yad, the Yisraeli Melechas B'derach HaMazel Lemor. This is what God told me, the Cheskas Yad, strongly. He warned me not to follow what the people were doing or what they were going to do. Losomu Kesher L'Folasher Yomar. Don't declare conspiracy when the people are saying kosher, that they want to make a conspiracy. That's more all those of those. Do not be afraid when they're afraid. Hashem is the only one that you should think. nearby. He should be the one you fear, and he should be the one that you revere. And that's that. There is nothing else that you should worry about over here except HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what he can do. It will be a sign, right? Here's what it's going to be. An obstacle, there's going to be a stumbling block for the two houses of Bnei Yisrael. A snare and a trap in the ocean slime for those who live in the ocean slime. Many people will trip over on it. They'll stumble, they'll fall, they'll be broken, they'll be trapped, and they'll be captured. That's what's going to happen. What he's referring to over here, if you'll remember, Chizkio had another guy who was living in his time, who was a tremendous Talmid Chacham, who messed up completely and thought that Pekach and Aram and Ashur were all correct. Who was that? The guy's name was Shebna. Shebna was a tremendous Talmid Chacham. In fact, he had a bigger yeshiva than Chizkio HaMelech did. His yeshiva and his Talmidim were more than Chizkio HaMelech. And he was convinced that Ashur should be right and all Bnei Yehuda should be destroyed. And that the people of Yehuda were supposed to be destroyed and they should go into Galus. He was convinced of that, but he was wrong. And that's what it's saying over here. It's going to be a mixtal. It's going to be an Evan Negev that those who are not learning properly are going to trip up on it and they're going to lose. Remember what happened to Shebna at the end? Shebna brought all of his people, went to the doors of Yerushalayim, sent out a message to the king of Assyria that he was coming out together with his people. He walked out. As soon as he walked out, the doors slammed shut behind him. All the people were locked back inside. Shebna went to the king of Assyria by himself. He said, "What is this, a joke?" And then took him, pierced holes through his legs, had him dragged through the streets on a horse until he died. That was what happened to Shebna. And it's crazy, but that's going to be the idea behind it. Sor to Uda Chasom Torah Belimudi. Bind this document. Seal this teaching among all of my students. Now the question is, who's speaking over here? Is this HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Yeshaya to do this, or is Yeshaya telling his students to do this? Whatever it is, he's trying to tell people, don't tell everyone of what's going to be. It's probably better if they sin without knowing about it. Here we go. Pasuk Yud Zayin. V'chikisi LaHashem, I will wait for Hashem. Master part of the base.
Yeah. Can I even help? I'm saying they should have known, right? I'm saying, like,
I guess you're right, but he knew they wouldn't listen. Because he knew they wouldn't listen, it's better for them to be shogin rather than mizidin, I guess. I'm a master punter who hides his face in Beis Yaakov Kivitzilo. I hope for him. I and the children that God has given me, they should be for signs and omens for Bnei Yisrael, who lives on Har Tzion. That will be the Ruach HaKodesh that again. And when they tell you, oh, let's go to the Ovos and Yidon, we all know what the Ov was the bone that you put underneath your armpit, and you were able to speak to the dead by moving around your armpit. Yidoni was a little bone that you took from the Yidoa, the creature called the Yidoa, that was the Adnei Sada, that man creature that was attached by its belly button to a pumpkin. Take a bone out of that, put it underneath your tongue, and when you speak to them, you'll be able to find out everything you need to know about the future, about the past, about whatever. Mitzatzevin, they chirp, v'amagin, and they, I forget what the word is, like grunt, I guess. Halohim, Haloam Elohav Yidrosh. Shouldn't the nation, right, with a god, Yidrosh Barachayim Elamesim, shouldn't they search out for the living instead of the dead? Why are they asking the wrong people? L'toyro v'l'tuda in lo yomru kadavar hazeh. Right, by the teaching, by the Torah, and by the Edus that we have over here, right, in lo yomru kadavar hazeh, in lo shachar. They're going to say this ridiculous thing that makes absolutely no sense at all. Instead of asking God, they're like, let's go ask the Ovis and Yedonin. Why would he ask the Ovis and Yedonin? Now remember, guys, we did learn that there is a time, lehawaka, when you can go to Ovis and Yedonin. When was that? Shaul Melech Paskin. He said, if you can't get Nevuah, you have no Ruach HaKodesh, you have no dreams, and there's no ability to use the Urim and Tumim, then you're permitted to go for any of these other little things. Then you're allowed to do that.
What do you do now?
You have no idea what it is.
Yeah, I don't know if the Ovis Yedonim are telling the truth. That's what you have to say. Like, the Ovis Yedonim, really the real Ovis Yedonim. And by the way, if you find a guy who gets that Yedoa bone, I want to know what the creature that is. So find that guy for me. I'm fine with that. But regardless, right, they say that that's that. We shouldn't have to go to those other places. So Avarba Nikshev Arayiv, the starving and the suffering are going to follow that path. Bahaya Ki Yira B'Yiskatzit B'Kilo B'Malko V'Eloa V'Fona L'Mama. When they starve, they're going to be angry. They're going to curse out their king and their god. They're going to turn above. They'll look to the earth. They're going to see pain and darkness. They're going to see the dark of distress. And the gloom of being lost. And that's what's going to be. And this is referring to anybody who's a necromancer and the idolater. They're going to be starved. They have no idea what they're doing, and they're going to realize only later on that they messed up entirely because they really don't have anything whatsoever. Then they're going to turn above. They're going to blame their woes on a higher power. They're going to say, oh, it's not my fault. It's because this thing didn't work today. It's because that thing wasn't there today. But I should have. I tried. I tried my absolute best. Has it not been darkened for the ones who are distressed? For the first time, let it be, right, a little bit easier. But the last time is going to be very severe. Meaning the first time that this happens won't be so bad. But as it gets worse and worse and worse, then it's going to be really bad, and a total gullus is going to come. If you keep doing this and ignoring God and going for other things, then you're going to go everywhere else, by way of sea, over the Jordan River, to the regions where all the other goyim live, and that's what's going to be. But don't worry. There still will be Yeshua, and that's Parakhtas. Hamol k'machoshek ro or gadol. The people that are walking in darkness will then see a great light. Yoshev eretz hamav is those who live in the land of the shadow of death, or Nogaleim. There's going to be a light that's going to light upon them, and that light is going to be Chizkiyah now. That's what's going to be. Kirbisa goy lo higdalta. Okay, you exalted the nation. You made them great. Asimchas samchu, they came very happy with anecha. Kisimchas bakasir kasher yagibu b'chalkam shalol. They're going to rejoice before you as they rejoice during the harvest. In other words, at the times of Pesach and Shavuos, right? Like they rejoice when they get plunder from the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
The Kriya Niksiya has it low and low.
Yeah, so it's kind of hard to describe it as. Low with an aleph, obviously, is lo higdalta. You didn't make them great. They made themselves great. In other words, they did mitzvos and they deserved it, so to speak. Or lo higdalta to him, to God, you showed your greatness. That's the idea behind it. However you want to learn it. But both mean that they're going to be, they had something great and something was given over to them. Kis olsu below for the burden of their yoke, that's mate shechmo, and the load on their shoulders, shevet hanoges, the staff of their oppressor, boach hitos of yom midyan. You're going to smash as if in one day of Midyan. Remember Gidon smashed Midyan in that one day? Remember when Gidon had 300 people with him, and he's able to smash all the armies of Midyan in one day? Remember they took the shofars and they blew it as if there were a huge army, and they made noise as if there was tons of people there. That's what they did to Midyan, and everything was gone. In one day, all of Sennacherib is going to be gone. Through all the stormy, you know, noises that you have, Yericho was technically 7 days, because they went around once every day, and the 7 days when they fought. But you're right, that on Shabbos, that was the last day. With their uniforms stained in blood, now it's going to be through fire, it's going to be consumed in flame. That's what's going to happen, that Sennacherib is going to be totally destroyed in the source of Chizkiyah. Because there is a child that is born to us, this is to Achaz. Ben Nitan Lanu, there is a child that will be given to us. But the Amisra al Shechmo, the servanthood, in other words, the kingship, is going to be on his shoulders. Ma'ikar Shmo, his name is going to be Pela Yoiz, El Gibor Avi Ad Sar Shalom. That's going to be his name. Ready? Pela Yoiz means the mighty, the miraculous planner. El Gibor means the mighty God. Avi Ad means the father of all time. Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. And that's good. Now, you could learn it as his name was just Sar Shalom. Right? That Vayikra Shmo Pala Yoetz El Gibor Abiyad is all referring to God. Hashem called his name Sar Shalom. And that was going to be Hizkiyah's official name. Right? And that's the way to say it.
That's what we're
nevertheless, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that each one of these is a separate name, and that Hizkiyah had eight other names. And he fought against Sennacherib that also had eight names. That's the idea for everybody else. So that's the idea, meaning the real name that he's going to have is Sar Shalom. His fake name is Chizkiyah. Okay? Lemarbe Amisra. You see that over there? You see that Marbe? You see that Mem? We'll talk about that in a second. Lemarbe Amisra. So he who will increase the kingdom will have Shalom in case he will have limitless peace. On the throne of David and on the kingdom, he will prepare it. Will Asada and set it up a mishpat with sukkah, with judgment, and with righteousness. It is the zeal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's going to allow this to be able to happen. Now here's here's the reason why it's a marbe, and it's written as this way. Marbe a Misra is that there was one thing that he did wrong. He never became Mashiach. Chizkiyahu had a chance when Sennacherib was destroyed to sing Shira, to show the people how great they were, and when he didn't sing Shira and show the people how great they were and show them all the miracles, when he didn't do that, he was immediately punished. And what's the punishment? He was only the king. That was it. He could have been Mashiach. He could have ushered in the future times. But no, Chizkiyahu did not. And that was the whole thing. There is going to be an Or Gadol. What is the Or Gadol? You have a chance for Mashiach. But Marbe Amisra, he's going to close it off. He's going to stop the time, and he's not going to allow it to happen because he messed up. Because he messed up. At the time, says the Gemara, the land started screaming out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reconsider and said, I'll sing instead of Chizkiyahu. But Hashem said, I'm sorry, but your voice is not the same. It's Chizkiyahu's. And it's not going to be the same thing. And he didn't accept it.
It's harsh. It's kind of like almost like a Moshe type punishment. Like, you just
don't put the Mashiach. Do you understand? This is the greatest person of all time. Yes, one little mistake says that you're not going to be that guy. What?
Chizkiyahu, we don't consider
Chizkiyahu.
No, but we don't consider Chizkiyahu better than or greater.
You don't want to say greater than. But remember, at his time, every person knew all of Torah. They were all experts in Tumah V'Tahara.
Yeah, but only due to him.
You could say that. Yeah, I mean, yeah. And that's the reason why he was so great. That's the reason why. There's nobody like him. Davar Shalakad Nabi Yaakov and Alphabet Yisrael. Shem sent the word to Yaakov, it came upon Bnei Yisrael. V'yadwa am kulu Ephraim Yoshev Shomron Begavu Begodu Lev of Lema. All the people then will know. Ephraim, those who live in the Shomron, the people who brazenly and haughtily say, Levedim Nefalu, man-made bricks have fallen, the Gadis Nimna will build it up with hewn stone. Shikmin Gudau, the sycamores have, you know, cut down. The Razim Nachlif will replace them with cedars. The people of Bnei Yisrael thought to themselves that they were the strongest people out there, that they were going to be able to do whatever they wanted, and that they'll make it even stronger and do whatever they want. But Hashem will strengthen the enemies of Ritzin against him. That's why Bav Yisakseh, and all of his foes are going to be incited. Aram will come from the east. The Plishtim will come from the west. They will consume Bnei Yisrael, right, in every place. And nonetheless, God is still angry. God is still there, and there's still going to be something there, and that's what's going to be over here. The people did not return to the one who hit them. That's Hashem's proposal to Russia. They didn't care about God. Hashem will destroy from Bnei Yisrael, not Yehuda, from Bnei Yisrael, a head and a tail, a palm branch and a reed, all in one day. This refers to all their leaders and even those who were not leaders. Zakin and Supanim, the elders and the ones who everybody revered. Who are Rosh, the Navi Umoreshek, who was a Nav. He is the head. But the Navi, obviously the false prophet, and the Moreshek, the ones who told out lies, that is the tail. All of them will be destroyed in the day. The leaders of these people, the Ashrei, are the people that are, you know, the prominent people of these nations. They're going to be fools. And all their followers are going to be completely lost. Hashem will no longer be happy with any of the young men that live in Yisrael. He has no mercy on the orphans and the widows. They're all flattered, all flatterers, umeira, and evil. They all spoke abominations. But nonetheless, God is still not happy. Meaning after he does all this and he punished all these people, not only the leaders, but even the people that are on the bottom, and not only that, but all the young men as well. Once he destroys all of them, he's still not okay.
Why would we think that he would be okay?
That HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Yeah.
To speak once me that's in, let's out, then maybe like, okay, that's enough. Let's stop right there because that already was a lot.
It doesn't make you feel any better.
After he goes on a rampage, you know.
Like in anger, I wouldn't even call it that way because we are talking about God. I would assume it means that once Midas Adin is satisfied, you already killed all these people, then Midas Arachman can come in and allow things to
get
better.
Works?
Sometimes it depends. Like after there's a real big Midas Adin, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu reassesses. Now do they deserve to be punished? Now do they deserve to be killed? Because all these guys are dead. All those evil people, is there enough evil to deserve to finish off the God? It really is an amazing thought, because think about it for a second. Let's say 10 people are here, and 8 of them deserve punishment. Okay? So 4 of them are killed. So now there are 6 people left, right? You have 4 that deserve punishment, 2 that are tzaddikim. So at that point, you look back and say, well, yeah, it's a different ratio. It's not 8 to 2 anymore. It's 4 to 2. Do they now deserve to be killed? I know I wanted to kill all 8, right? But now they deserve to be killed. That's the way to look at it. Consider where they are now. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Kivo ara ke'ish rishah shamir. Right? Shamir v'shai is tokel. Right? The fire, the evil will burn like a fire. It will consume thorns and thistles. Hatitza b'sikhe yar, it's going to burn all the branches of the forest. But he's abhu geyuz ashan. And it's going to trap them in the rising smoke. V'avitz Hashem tzavakos netam ha'aretz. But the Hashem's wrath. Right? The earth is going to be dark. V'yom kemah cholosesh. It's going to be like a consuming fire. Isha l'chibu yachmolu. Nobody will have any pity on anybody else. By Yisrael Yamin Vara'ev, he decrees on the right, and there's hunger. V'yochol v'yochal. Wait, v'ray v'yochal?
Yeah.
And they remain
famished.
V'yochal small v'lo saveyu. Then they'll eat from the left, and they won't be satisfied. Ish b'zarz ro yochelu. During this hunger, they're going to even eat their own flesh, because there's literally nothing else to eat. Menashe and Ephraim, Ephraim is Menashe Yaakov, Menashe and Ephraim together. Hey Ma'al Yehuda, they'll come upon Yehuda. The close of Loshem from Ma'od Yehuda to and God is still angry at them. Even then, it's going to be really, really bad. That's going to be the famine in Bnei Yisrael, right? In which there's going to be a famine that Bnei Yisrael is going to have. And no matter what, they're all going to go to Yehuda for food because there's nowhere else for them to go. They're going to be so starving. That's what's going to happen at that time. Yeah.
Can you explain Pasuk Zayin? Dover Shalach Hashem B'Yakov B'Nafav Yisrael.
Yeah. So the idea is the following. This is Yehuda. Yaakov and Yisrael is sort of like, this is a warning. So Dover Shalach Hashem B'Yakov. Hashem sent a word to Yaakov, the Nafal B'Yisrael. And when they didn't do anything, then the kingdom of Israel was destroyed.
But they're the same person.
Yes, but there's different aspects to it. Yaakov, the people, there's
no
Yisrael's that. No, this isn't referring to Yehuda. This isn't referring to Yehuda. This is all referring to Bnei Yisrael at the time. That's all it's referring to. So therefore, it's going on and it's saying, okay, now we're dealing with Yehuda. Yehuda really stopped when we said, Lamar be'amisra. That was the end of Yehuda. Now, the punishment for Bnei Yisrael happened. That's what we should call it down over here. That's what happened over here. But all this is all, there's going to be Yeshua, and it's going to be Chizkiah, possibly Mashiach. And that's what this thing was. Yeah.
The famous 7-year famine, they were saying?
I don't know, because Yoel, that was the famine that was, I thought was earlier. But we'll have to see. If it wasn't, then it just means it was the very, very end when they were plundered and all the people were thrown out of the land. So there was no food left. There was nothing left. Okay, Parak Yud. Hoya chokim chikiyav, and woe to those who judge unjust judgments. Umechadvim amokitevu, and they dictate like things that are completely wrong. In other words, the people that get around and they say, like, oh, this is just and this is the real law. I'm not speaking about any specific lawyers over here. I'm just saying, right, those who think that this is the way that law should be and that's that. I'm telling you right now, I don't want to say it because it's like, I feel terrible for those who have this as an issue, of those who, have same-sex marriage and everything like that and everything that's there. I feel terrible for them, and I hope that everything should work out and that they're happy for their lives. I don't have that science. I don't know what it's like. But I can tell you, the fact that there are states that are refusing to legislate and that the Supreme Court is saying, no, you have to legislate and say that it's mutter for anyone to get married and whatsoever, that's already such a pellet to me, I can't understand it. Such a pellet. Why? What does that mean? It means they literally turned it around, and in 5 years, this is not what it was like 5 years ago. 5 years ago,
is when like it was a big thing in New York.
Yeah, it was like no way. How in the world could they allow it? But everything literally is like changed completely and became 180. Literally turned to 180.
The Supreme Court decided not to legislate for 5 more states.
I just can't believe that it's a willingness. We're all left with like 5 states that are holding out, like Wisconsin or whatever, and they're on the level. You know what it's like? It's them and Russia.
Yeah.
And like the country of Russia, right? And that's in Iraq. And like the Arab nations, who are just like, in my mind, again, maybe I'm wrong about this, but in my mind, they're the same one.
That's such bad
value. Which is crazy. It's crazy to me. I just absolutely can't understand it. But, you know, what can you do? In my mind, that looks like unjust legislation and useless dictations where they're just going around and saying, no, this is the law. What if it's the law? The Hatos mean din dalin. They pervert the dinim of the poor. They steal the judgments of the poor people in my nation. For the widows, right, to become their spoil, and for the orphans to be their plunder. In other words, they do whatever they can to make sure that the poor remain poor and the rich remain rich. If the rich remain rich, that means they can put money in their coffers and things work out well. What are you going to do on the day of reckoning, on the final day of judgments, when disaster is going to come from far away? Who are you going to run to, right? Ezra, for help. And where will you leave all of your riches? Your riches are going to mean nothing to you in those days. You won't be able to bribe them off. Bilti karatakas asir, right? You're only going to be able to surrender to captivity. You're going to fall, right, under those who are already dead. And God is still angry, and he's still going through. That's still going to be the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. I mean, again, lahavdil, but in the times of the Holocaust, it didn't matter how much money you had. If you didn't get out in time, you could have been a millionaire, and nonetheless, you still would have been killed. You still would have been taken in. You still would have been killed. Your money meant absolutely nothing to the Nazis in Auschwitz. It meant absolutely nothing to them, and that's what was happening by these people. Hoy Ashur Shevet Api. You should know that Assyria is going to be the rod of my anger. Umatu Biyadim Zamin, and my anger, my rage, is going to be that staff in their hands. It's going to be worse. Ashur is going to be even worse to you. The Goy Chanef Ashal. I am going to send upon you a very tricky nation. And in a people that angered me, I am going to command them to take the plunder of those bars and to take everything. And I want to make them trampled like the mud of the street. That's what I'm going to tell them to do. By the way, you know why they're called a tricky nation? Ashur? Ashur shouldn't be a tricky nation. Because technically, Ashur was a good person. Remember in this week's Parsha, he ran away from Nimrod. But Ashur is known as the land where Nimrod wanted to go to. Ashur went out and went somewhere else. They were a people that were able to get away from Nimrod. They were a tricky people. They were able to get out of the grasp of the king and go somewhere else. He is not going to think that way. Ashur is not going to think that way. He's not going to think that in his heart. He wants to destroy the Hakur's going Lama'at, and he wants to cut down many nations. He wants to say, aren't my officers all kings? Listen, isn't Bnei Yisrael at least like Kalno, Karkamish, Arpad, Hamas, Damasek? Well, all those places. I defeated all those areas. Why shouldn't I beat the Shomron as well? When I overcame all their idols and everything that they had, right, then I'll overcome the idols of Yerushalayim and the Shomron. Just like it did to Shomron and their gods, that's what I'll do to Yerushalayim and their gods. Not knowing that there are no gods in Yerushalayim, the only god is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was a good base. All of this is referring to the Assyrians. The Assyrians are getting up there and saying, well, if I was able to defeat all those people, then certainly I could defeat them. And if I defeated Shomron, then certainly I could take over Yerushalayim and all their gods. When Hashem will execute all of those plans, the heart of Yerushalayim, then he's going to act exact punishment on the heart, on the pride of the king of Assyria, and on his haughty arrogance. He said that it's my own power that I did all this, and it's my wisdom, because I'm so smart. And I was able to remove the borders of all the nations, because remember, Ashur moved the nations around one another so that nobody lived in the same area anymore. And then I took all of their treasures, and I crushed all the people that lived that way. I snatched nations' armies, those nations' armies, like a nest, with my hands. They got so beats mazubos and like gathering a bunch of, you know, random eggs, kolaris and yasati. That's the way I gathered all the land. Valoya no did kanafu posef el matafse. There was nobody to flap a wing. There was nobody who was able to open up a mouth. Nobody was able to cheat. Right? I took care of everything. And he said it was all me. Because he said that, Akadosh Baruch Hu said, well, now I'm going to take him down. Hayispar agarzan alachotze. Can the axe brag to the chopper that, hey, I'm more powerful than you? The wood chopper's taking the axe and cracking and putting down the tree. And he's like, oh, man, the axe is just like, yeah, you'd be nothing without me. It is gadol amasor almanifo. Can the saw brag to the one who wields it? Kahanit shevet. The esmerim of kaharim mater lo eight. Okay? So we have to read it like this. Kahanit shevet. As if the rod, right, waves itself. This marima kaharimata, as if the stick got up and did it himself. No. Eight. No, my friend. It's just a piece of wood. That's what you are, Ashur. You're just a piece of wood. I'm the one who's doing everything over here. And that's that. By the way, there's an interesting little thing over here. The question is what you're like. Are you like a saw or are you like an axe? An axe, what do? You take one hit, and there's a massive little chop. Then you go again, you go, boom. But what is a saw?
Slower.
You have to go continuously, one after the other. Kadosh Baruch Hu was like, you're not only an axe, you're a saw. I was using you literally every single second. There wasn't a second that it wasn't involved with you the entire time, trying to make sure the B'nai Yisrael would be destroyed. I'm not using you as an axe.
No matter what, you're still using it.
There's time in between where the guy can make his own decisions or make something or do something. But you had nothing.
You think about every swing you take.
It is a nice little Moser Oscar, but that's that. But no, you're just, and after you finish, Ashur is going to remain a dead piece of wood. You'll be nothing. Ashur doesn't become a nation after this. Therefore, Hashem is going to send to his fat ones leanness. Takas kvodo, yekad, instead of his honor, he's going to be burned. Yekod ki kodesh, that burning is going to be like the burning of a fire. And the light of B'nai Yisrael, the fire of B'nai Yisrael will be a fire. And all the holy ones are going to be like a flame. And it's going to consume all their thistles and their thorns all in one day. Kvod yaro, the carmelo, all of its woods and all of its forests, minefesh v'adbasar, from soul to flesh, it's yechalad, they're going to be destroyed, right? The hayakim sos no safe. It's going to be like a worm consumes something. Ushar eitz yaroi misbad yuminar v'yichtevein. So few of the forest trees will remain that a child is going to be able to count the amount of trees that are left in the forest. And that's going to see by Ashur. How many people were left at the great, huge army of Ashur where he came with millions of people? How many people were going to be left? The answer is?
Four.
Five. Right? Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, Sennacherib, and his two sons. And that's that. It's going to be as if literally there was rot among everybody and everything was gone. On that day, Lo Yosef, Och, Or Yisrael, Plates, Bez Yaakov, Lishaino, Makeyu. From now on, Bnei Yisrael, the people that remain, the survivors of Yaakov, will no longer rely on any other people that are ready to kill them. On Ashur, on Aram, on Mitzrayim, on Pekach Ben Reloyo. They'll all be gone. B'nishan Al-Hashem, Kirish Yisrael, Behemeth. They're going to have to rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone. There's no one else to rely on. Who else are you going to rely on? That's the only thing they can do. They're going to have to rely on this. So this is going to be the onesh of Ashur. Okay. It says Chaf Aleph. Sh'or Yeshuv, Sh'or Yaakov, El Gibor. Okay. The remnant will return. Remember, Sh'or Yeshuv was also the name of Yeshaya's son. The remainders of Yaakov, El Gibor, they will come back to the strong, mighty God. They'll come back to God. If Bnei Yisrael are going to be like the sand of the sea, Sh'or Yeshuv Bo Kilayon, Karut Shotet Tzedakah. The people that come back, they're going to be destroyers. They're going to be people that are going to allow to give tzedakah. They're going to give a lot. Ki kolav nechorotza Hashem Hashem Adonai Hashem Tzvaos Host of the Karav Galaretz, because he is going to make this destruction and he's going to carry it out throughout the land. I guess you could say through Sennacherib. Sennacherib did destroy all the people that were around them. L'chein kol amar Hashem Elokim Tzvaos Al tira mi Yoshev Tzion. Do not be afraid, my people. The people live in Zion. May Ashur from Assyria. Hashem Yakaka. They will hit you with a stick. Umateo Yisalach, and he will carry you. You know they. they'll have a rod. The Derech Mitzrayim on the way down to Egypt. Because remember, that's what happened. They had to go down to Egypt to suppress the revolt, and then they came back. But in a little bit of time, all that anger will be gone, and all that my anger will be upon them because of their blasphemies. The fact that they blasphemed me and they did everything. Some could say that maybe it's referring to just like in Egypt, just like Mitzrayim was powerful one time, but then were destroyed completely. That's the same thing that happened over here. But Ora Lav Hashem Tavkos shows Kimakas Midian Betzuro Rave, and the same way that they raised the whip when Midian was destroyed with Or Tzuro Rave, that was the guy that they killed by the times of Midian. And he raised his staff at the sea, and it was Kriyas Yam Suf. So through here, their sable, their yoke will be off of your shoulders. And the yoke is going to be damaged. It's going to be destroyed because of the oil. What does it mean, because of the oil? The oil, the chizkio, used to light in the base measures. And them learning all night was the source that they were going to be able to win this war against Assyria. The fact that they were learning all night by the light of the oil, that's what allowed them to be saved. All Ayas Avar B'Megroni came to Anas, passed by Megron, L'Mikmash, Yafkib Caleb. By Mikmash, he put down his Caleb. That's three places right now, okay? Ayas, Megron, Mikmash. Avru Ma'bara, that's four. Geva Malone, right? They rested in Geva, right? Lanu Chorda, then they lie down in Chorda, right? Lanu Chorda.
Geva
Malone, Lanu, right? That was their place. Chorda, Harama, right? So Rama trembled. Giva Shaul Nasa, and Giva Shaul ran away. Zali Kolech Bas Galim, I want you to raise your voice, people that live in Galim. Hakshivi Laisha, Aniya Anasos. Listen, Laish. Answer up on Anasos. Nadida Madmena Yoshua gave him a Yisu. Madmena has wandered, they gave him people, they have gathered to flee. In all those times, there were 10 cities mentioned there, I think there were 10 altogether. One, Migron, Michmash, Geva, Rama, Giva Shaul, Galim, Laisha, Anasos, Madmena, Gevim. Yeah. In one day, Sancheir was able to travel through 10 cities with his massive army. He literally flew to come to Bnei Yisrael in one day. Oda Yom Benov La'amod. On that day, he stood in Nov, Chazal Darshan, that Yishbi Benov. Does anyone remember the Gemara in Sanhedrin? Sadi Hamral about Yishbi Benov?
You know, old story.
Yeah, that's what happened, right? When he fought against Yishbi Benov, who was the brother of Goliath. That was the day, Yamud Yenopik Yado Harbayis, Harbastion, Gibas Yishlaim, where he waved his hand on Bastion and Yerushalayim, and he said, I don't want to fight today. The people that were with him said, you got to fight today. If you don't fight today, you're going to lose. And he's like, whatever. I'll beat it tomorrow. I fought bigger cities. I don't need to fight today. Had he fought that day, he would have destroyed Yerushalayim. But he didn't, because on that day was the last day of the punishment of Nov Ira Kohanim. That's why he says Yod Benov, right? And because he didn't do so, he was destroyed that night. By the way, that day was what day? Don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He wasn't learning for a full hour. He's just standing in the back.
Every day is Tisha B'Av.
What's he paid for? 14th of Nisan. The Lord of all everything else will cut his branches down with an axe. The tall ones will be cut down. The haughty ones are going to be lowered. All those trees, the forest, the Lebanon trees are going to be knocked down completely. Everything's going to be like that. And that's what's going to be. There's a reference at the very, very end of the Livanon. The Livanon refers to the base of Mikdash. It's going to be knocked down to Adir. Who's the Adir? Nebuchadnezzar above us. And even then, there was still a remnant to what's going to be. And why? Why is there a remnant over here? Because as much as Chizkiyo was involved in this, Chuz saved all Chayisor from Sancheir, but again, he didn't sing Shira. And because of that, bubble is going to come up and destroy the second base of Mikdash. That's what was going to happen. That's the final remnant of there. Now we're going to talk about Mashiach.